Welcome to Crudely Drawn Swords Trilogy. I don't know how to speak anymore. Swords. Anyway, look, here we are. It's us. There's me. Look, there's Stuart.
The
there's Ali. There's Gwyn. We actually have Ali this time. Her back is back. She is.
I'm lending my sofa.
She's bringing sexy back like Timberlake. And today we're going to be talking a bit about our characters.
Which we've definitely all written.
So, well, we don't need to have. That's what today's about. But what we do need to have is a recollection of the world that we've created. And
so, let me just turn that down.
What, the world?
Yeah. I reject your world premise.
No way. So this is an uplifting tale of spooky bureaucracy. This was the tagline we came in on.
And I am quite scared of spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Oh, would that be what a ghost wears instead of a bedsheet? It would be a spreadsheet.
Oh, there we go. She's back, ladies and gentlemen. Ali is in the house.
I'm done now. Basically, people coming late to the stream, they've missed that. That's done.
Their time
is gone. After that, you've got to start paying.
You better pay.
I'm a pro, damn it. Yeah.
Stuart, do you want to tell us something about the world we've created? A little recap from you?
Yeah, sure do. Bone City. There is an underground city in the main village, in the main city, and it is full of skeletons.
The village, and under the village is a massive city.
Yeah.
Full of bones.
And under that, there's the drift, which is where I'm going to come from.
And the skeletons that wear barrels. I'm
talking like a pirate.
So, yes, we have a culture called the drift.
Yeah, barrels and rope are pretty... Continue, Ben.
Which is a seafaring group who have a floating, maybe anchored to rocks kind of community. Quite roughy-tufty. Mm.
That's my character name, roughy-tufty.
Good character name.
Oh, roughy-tufty.
That's a good idea. So, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to, while I sort out these character sheets, I have written a virtual tabletop to run this game on, but no one could access it just now, and I didn't test it this afternoon when I should have. So we're going to just go with documents for our character sheets right now and carry on from there. So while I'm sorting these out, Gwyn, do you want to talk a little bit about religion in this world and what takes its place?
I don't know, do I? that was one of the prompts last time, wasn't it? So I think instead of religion, then this was the world that was going to be governed by megacorps, and they'd taken its place effectively, and where people in this world might sort of worship different sort of gods or deities or whatever you like, in the world that we're playing in, which is not a million miles detached from our own, then followers of religions are more like subscribers to platforms or to whatever it is that corporations are running, of which there were a couple, weren't there?
Yeah, so we came down on like almost basic verbs as our...
the components of journalism, according to my GCSE teacher. So who, what, when, where, and why. Yeah, that's how you write a newspaper story, according to GCSE English in the 90s.
And you've got to make sure that you should get everything in.
Yeah, and the stuff you've got to get in is who, what, when, where, and why, and maybe how, depending on but how is basically the story anyway.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty interesting.
And if you get that into one headline, you can work for the Daily Mail.
I guess that's true. So, yeah, we have this, and we have this world of modern near future type technology. I came in with the game, I was like, the one thing this is for is epic fantasy. First thing Team Crudely Drawn Swords do. Okay, this is going to be like near future technology. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still going to be epic.
It is going to be epic, hey, and it is fantasy.
I wanted fantasy.
Because we have magic returning or appearing in this world. And
Star Wars is fantasy, so.
Yeah, and also we do have skeletons possibly animated beneath the cities doing whatever skeletons do.
Dance. Imagine if the sea was made out of Fanta. I'd be mad.
Yeah.
Be really busy.
Wait. Okay, I it's an interesting thought. How did it become relevant?
Fantasy.
Oh God. Jesus. Ben. I'm so sorry.
Come on now.
I was very Vimto.
I hate Vimto.
What's wrong with Vimto?
I don't mind Vimto.
It's an anagram of vomit, nice. And it tastes that way.
Sponsor us, Vimto.
we've alienated Vimto already.
Yeah.
The Vimto Corporation.
I've name dropped quite a lot in my dramedy, but I don't think that's going to save me unless they want to fund a very expensive comedy drama.
Why would they not want to do that?
It's hard to say, but I have just slagged off, Vimto and this very popular forum.
Yeah. So that's going to cause us problems. So yes, we have
big funders of comedy.
It ruins my future career.
So we went through the whole general world-building process. Was there anything missing from the world as far as you were concerned, Ali, that you wanted to see in there? Or that you'd have liked to get into the world-building had you been here?
I have
or
not
that you want to remove now.
Please take out the Vimto. I've just sort of read it through today and I wasn't very there for the last one, so I don't have anything that I've thought through.
Okay, that's fine. If something comes up...
But we have been instructed there should be lasers.
Yeah, we know there's
thought there was lasers
or energy beams of some kind. It's the near future, so there's quite a lot of technology around. And we have these big corporate cities... We have corporate agriculture that's feeding them. And then we have on the kind of outskirts and what's referred to as the wasteland, not because it's particularly bad, but because it's not, the corporations just don't need it, so they don't use it. We have culture of families and suspicious close-ranked families, the barrel mafia, referred to as the Coopers.
Yeah, Coopers.
Meanwhile, in the cities, we have most people belong to a group called the Kempt, which are kind of like
these normies.
They are classic normies. They're good, nice, monetizable people that the corporations like. But dispersed among them, you do have certain proportion of often older people who are who have been monetized as far as they can be. And that means maybe some have been monetized a long way and others were just never very monetizable.
So like us that won't go on TikTok, yeah?
Yeah, basically like us that won't go on TikTok.
Oh, cool.
And so these are referred to as the dispersed. And we have the cutters, who are kind of like the teams of deniable fixers who go out and solve problems on the part of corporations.
I'll cut you.
And so, yeah, sometimes they're cutting wires, sometimes they're cutting threads from life's rich tapestry. It depends on the situation.
You've got to be a bit gangster.
There is...
I was Peaky Blinders and then realised I couldn't. Because not only do you have to be from Birmingham, you got to have a particular cadence.
Is that the Birmingham gangster cadence?
I think it's just for that. There was another film, TV show recently that was set. I think that was set in Birmingham, and it had the same cadence. I'm pretty sure real people don't have, but it means this is a serious drama.
Right, yeah.
This is a serious drama.
Yeah, and that's quite different from the way actual gangsters talked, of course, which was exactly like people in 1940s films.
A gangster, eh?
What do you mean, see?
I might play a pangolin. Like this. Lucy says I have to play a pangolin.
I would say see after everything.
See?
Yeah, and the land surrounded by sea. So, fantasy, you might say.
Cool, come full circle.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all connected. It's all connected.
It's connected. I keep forgetting my camera's over there.
So we have a couple of bits that are on the end of the world building section that we didn't really get into, one of which is geography. I think we're going to start around a kind of central city here, aren't we? Now, this ties in, like, the concepts that we've been talking about are either a team on a reality TV type show, or a, like, support team helping to run a reality TV type show and stop the weird quirks of magic that seem to be showing up from getting in the way and revealing the dangers of magic. But either of which I think could be a lot of fun. So I think we've got some really solid concepts here. So are we going to, do we want to think about, like, the Media Corporation has a home city, don't they, I think? Or, like, I feel like... yeah, maybe Who, because they're, like, Glident, the Global Identity Corporation. And they have a city called, they have a home in Ipsity or Ipsaity. So
Ipsaity.
Yeah. And so I think, but it's like, it's called Ipsaity, but it's, everyone calls it Ipsity because it's a city, or sometimes just Ip. If they're locals, the big IP. So,
cool.
I suspect we'll be kind of starting in a city setting if we're working with one of these sections, in which case I don't think we need to worry too much about it, because kind of the starting point gives us the things we're going to need to have. Like, there's going to be some central media starting point and where our contestants are going out to, which will probably be a mixture of in the city, in studios, or out in the wastelands, depending on the games. If they're playing Catch That Skelly, then I guess.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's why we need to be game show contestants, because I've spaffed through all the money I won from the first round of Where's My Skeleton? And I'm coming back. I'm coming back. It's one of the caveats of winning is that at any point you can come back and try again.
Okay.
I feel like if you can't you're in a lot of trouble.
I think I prefer the sound of being game show contestants.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, good.
Games within games.
Games within games.
Games without frontiers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also like the idea that we were all three of us magic users and try not to let on to anyone, even the team, that we are magic users.
I think Ali's mechanical idea is a lot of fun.
You've got to have characters that will rub up against each other, man. Whoa. I've got like 2/3 of an MA in writing now, so I know this stuff.
I honestly, I think in my experience, it's stopping Stuart's characters from mobbing up against people is the challenge. So
I'm known as the rubber. Oh, I'm one of those hacker dudes called Johnny the rubber. Because I always get uncomfortably close to people, like on I'll always sort when I'm talking to you, I'm right in your face as well. No real life names. We're all thinking it.
It's Rufty the Rubber Tufty. Yeah.
Brad, Rufty Rubber Tufty Muscle.
Watch out, he'll rub you.
He's dressed in mufti.
Rather than a single initial, this time Stu's going for a long list of middle names. This is what's going to distinguish his character this time around. The other part of world building is like three moments from history. But I'm not so excited about that here, because I think these corporations have had a fairly logical and linear growth to their position. I don't think it's been full of huge crises. I think to most people, it has felt like an inevitable progression to where they are now. So it feels very natural that this is the world.
But we do have the concept that magic is returning to the world and unsettling that world order. So it might even be that there was an event where that was first noticed.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, those in the know say it stemmed from, perhaps.
Yeah, there could well be an event like a while back that is kind of seems like a starting point for magic returning. Perhaps there was, but I wonder if it's kind of creeping around the corners. So it's less an event rather than people noticing patterns and then kind of trying to be like, okay, how do we contain these patterns? But as yet, it hasn't been found. But we could certainly have, like, how long do you think magic has been returning for? Do you think it's like a few years now, like 10 years?
1,000 years.
Probably, if it has been for a while, it's not been noticed until very recently.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like it's...
Maybe the TV magicians... Oh, I'll wait. Fucking hell. Maybe the TV magicians just... Like, the first hint was that their tricks were getting really good. And, like, people were watching it kind of going, if that's sleight of hand, that's really impressive. And, like, close-up magic became even better.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's quite an interesting idea.
The first people to know were the street performers. They got really good at unicycling to heights.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the event where it was realised being some kind of like massive orchestrated keynote speech.
Oh,
of
right.
The sort of Steve Jobs keynote type. Something along those lines.
Were they like going, and magic has returned? Or are they, or was it like, you know, they were doing a speech keynote where they're like, and today we're launching the iPhone 76 and check out these new features. It works like magic. And then magic started actually happening.
Yeah.
Everyone's
that.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. Or perhaps, you know, those events that you get where they have like wacky concept cars that are never actually going to get built. Or like sort of real sort of stretch goals for tech. Maybe there's like an industry version of that where somebody produced something
and it was actually good
that was literally unreplicatable at that point people were like, how did they actually do that? You know,
the first guy you had who made a colour picture not reproduce it and wouldn't tell anyone how he did it. I'm not saying he cheated, but it's a picture of a green and red ribbon, and it's very sort of dim. But yeah, he couldn't repeat it. He was like, "Nah, it's just the one off, mate."
I'm done.
Maybe there's a
I'm out. Completed.
Maybe there's a new corporation on the rise, and they are the ones using magic, and all the other corporations are like, "Yeah, but how are they doing this? That tech is mental."
Yeah, that's quite interesting. I like the idea that they had like a concept car. And even they didn't think it would do anything. And then it did. And they're like, whoa. And then they're trying to like cool it out as this thing like drives around when it doesn't have an engine. And they're like, of course, you can see how maneuverable this design is. Like going like, to the earpiece. What's happening?
Perhaps
what's
there happening? Was... Perhaps there was an inventor come entrepreneur that like demonstrated something or other like that was essentially built on magic, got a whack load of money invested in himself, then disappeared. And then either some sort of shady branch of the corp or maybe even like a state actor or something like that managed to actually get hold of him and shake him down for this. And at that point, they uncovered that actually...
Oh, yeah.
It was all just, you know, and that's kind of how they confirmed that there was something else going on other than just understandable laws and tech.
Okay, perfect. I like Lucy, that.
Lucy, that's something.
And then you can have like a
got a, little...
a person that was responsible for some of this.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a good point. So there is, do we have a name for that person?
Grand magician.
Well, it depends on Stu, because like if Rufty the rubber tufty is taken, then I guess it's going to be Brad Muscles and vice versa.
Brad,
you can do Rufty the magician tufty.
Okay, so I think we're going to
I think there's a request in the chat that we get to draw some crudely drawn cocks.
No, don't. This is why you don't have
what if I drew on a piece of paper separately? Give the fans what they want, man.
Well, that won't help the people on the podcast, will it? All our listeners will be like, this is just the sound of scratching pens. okay, so Rufty Tufty.
I'm going to remind you of this moment next time you complain about knob jokes, Ali.
Yeah, which is not going to be long. It'll be, look, you've got like a countdown now. Appeared and showed up and made this happen. And that really put the corporations on alert. And once they got on alert, they were looking for more of it. So, and Gwyn, you were thinking, it sounded like you were thinking of playing like a magical character that...
Oh, great idea.
That plays with probability. That makes the likely and unlikely shift.
Yeah, like once upon a time, I had this concept for a bit of world building where, like, everything that happened or could possibly happen had like an intrinsic sort of statistical value as to, you know, how likely it was to happen. And so within that, you would have people that could manipulate it and alter it. So if they want something very, very unlikely to happen, then they could flip the odds on that and suddenly like very implausible things would be happening. But the world would kind of sort of self-correct and something sort of negative to them would also happen. And, you know, if they did something really quite difficult and forced that, then you might find that lightning started striking aeroplanes or, above them, or like tsunamis started to consume sort of big regions. But, you know, perhaps more skilled people amongst them could like spread it out a little bit amongst sort of lesser events. But so wherever they were like using this this means of manipulating sort of the chances of things happening, sort of weird events kind of sort of would follow them around whenever they were sort of doing it and interfering with things. So I would, and in turn, perhaps they're like some element of like these corporations have a means of detecting that and don't like it going on because I I guess if you decide that you're just going to win the lottery, then, you know, some sort of extinction level event like might be on the horizon.
The stock market.
You know, or if you start doing things by mistake, not really knowing so that it is you that's affecting them, then like bad things, really, really bad things are just following you around everywhere. So so there was some pushback on that. So I'd quite like to play somebody along those lines that's capable of affecting the chances of things happening. But there's a balancing act with that. And if you use that power, then like the extent to which you use it, there's some feedback, if you like, that corrects it. So perhaps a mage or magical character, though not necessarily, I suppose. Well, no, I guess it fits in with what we were saying magic is. In the last session, isn't it? So yeah, maybe a mage.
It does. But
I also like the idea.
Go on, Stu.
Okay. I like the idea, but I don't know how it would work, that Gwyn's character is really unlucky, but it's almost building his power. I don't know how it would work. But like super unlucky, everything seems to always go wrong for him, but also the reverse of that would be that he's building up to something big that he can do.
Then the world would have to have value judgments to every action.
Yeah.
And that, just like
it would.
Optimized capitalism, which is sort of the environment under which these characters are living. So it's not ridiculous that might be. If magic is hooking into this world and going, how do things work? It's like, oh, I see. Everything has a value, does it? Everything could be monetized to a certain amount. I guess this is how the world works here. And starts trying to ascribe values to things. So I can see that either fitting into the Magus playbook as a steady character, either the Magus or the Gifted, but I know Stu had his eye on the Gifted, and I'm quite
that's all gone down the drain now.
Stu wants to do what everyone else does. Whatever you pick, Stu will be like, I wanted to do that one.
Stu actually, in fairness,
quite the reverse, Alison, I'll have you know.
So he does have, as it were,
but again, that was in a more
sure,
yeah, a more
but the, no, the I like Gifted it, that you were looking to play
shapeshifter.
Yeah,
the Gifted that you look to play is different to the mage one. So
Magus is like
different.
It's like someone who has studied and trained themselves in this, whereas the Gifted is someone who wakes up one day and can do it, and then it's about how can I do it? Like why am I a person who can do this? And that is, and that would actually, in this context, great. Be a really fun starting point for some of what we've got going on. So I think that makes quite a lot of sense with the Magus playbook, Gwyn, the Magus opening arc. We can basically the apprentice working. What I think we would do is we will use the where it talks about the costs of magic. It has the there's various counters you can do. I think we'll have like a 5-point counter that you build up when you do your stuff, and then we'll create a custom move to dump that probability safely without causing some kind of catastrophic improbability incident.
This improbability drive.
Yeah, and it leans in that direction. So do you have an idea for a name, Gwyn?
Of my character?
Yeah.
Oh, no, come back to me on that.
Okay, so let's...
Oh, are you about to fill in my character sheet?
I've got a character sheet set up for all of you, can get a start on this when we're ready to. The initial things that we have, and as we're talking about trilogy here and kind of using this as an introduction, the big things that a character starts with, basically you have two parts. You have your core character summary and you have your arc, which is your playbook where your special moves come from. The core character has a name, pronouns, culture. There's five statistics: heart, mind, strength, subtlety, and charm. They have a stress and harm track, which will both begin empty. And then you have a background and a complication. And so the background is about where your character comes from. And most of these backgrounds are going to be things like, you know, you're an outsider, you weren't raised among other people, you lived in some kind of weird commune or cult, or you were raised in luxury as a noble, or you lived rough on the streets, or you were like raised by merchants and you end up having knowledge of lots of kind of financial dealings, but you were never part of the ruling class. And all of these come with like their own, with a move or a bit of equipment or something that just kind of helps to, it helps to define where you came from and give you a picture of what kind of history your character has. And the other thing you have is a complication. And the complication is something which really just gives us a, something to hook into when we're starting the game. So there'll be a lot of stuff that happens. As the game goes on, you'll develop relationships with characters and NPCs and rivalries and opposition and things like that. The complication is about starting with something like that. So it might be that you're indebted. It might be that you've attracted a powerful enemy. It might be that you've been touched by a god, or you've been cursed by an evil witch, or you have a secret mission that you've been given that you are, it, you need to complete. These types of things make a good complication that kind of, it just gives a chance to like engage with the world from the start of the game. One of them is haunted. At some point in your life, you've become entangled with a dead spirit, purely inspired by a game of Ars Magica that Stu and I played at one point, where Stu's character had a fixation that he was the true king of Scotland. And he was haunted by a ghost that also believed he was the true king of Scotland and was constantly telling him that whatever he was doing should lead to him regaining control of Scotland. That was a great concept. It really stuck with me. So, yeah, complications are just... And it also, one of them it suggests is homesick. You've left a comfortable and happy home behind you. It's like, you don't have a tragic backstory. Your backstory is great, but you really miss everyone. So, yes, that's something to think about as we go through these characters. So, Stu, it sounded like you had a pretty strong starting point for a name. Is Brad Muscles what you're going with?
Honestly, I've no idea at this point. Maybe Brad come back. Muscles. Again, all I had was either Brad Muscles... He's a dude who previously won Find My Skeleton and he took all his riches back to the Drift.
Put them in a barrel.
The main city was pretty pissed off at this because the reward is like, you get a load of gold, you get a luxury apartment, you're kind of a major celebrity, and Brad's like, nah, man, I ain't having none of that. I'm going back to the Drift. And now he's run out of money. He's come back. And yeah, one of the clauses in your win is that you will always be allowed to... Okay. You'll get, because it, maybe it's like a lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a golden ticket that says you can come back. But also, and I like the idea that he's kind of like your like almost classic barbarian, so he's, or like paladin, so he's got old fantasy weapons in this new modern setting. But that's what's giving him an edge in Find My, because when he went dungeon diving, you know, when he's fighting all these skeletons, people are like shooting them with guns, and it's just going through the rib cage and twanging off their skulls. But my big old mace crashed. That's how I was able to win the game.
I'm imagining that also, as a kind of late 90s version of Quake.
Yeah.
As well. So we're seeing it all first person and it's a little bit blocky and occasionally everything just stops.
Yeah, I think everyone has like a
you've
camera.
Got a camera on your shoulder.
Head cams. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Or I want to play a
like
shapeshifter.
Like a dungeon version of Taskmaster.
The druid was...
Yeah, so I can see... I think Brad Mussels is a great... Mm-hmm. I think that's a good, solid concept.
It's
I think we can have
name.
So much fun with that. And his muscles have
you
been...
You could play, like... Rather than a shapeshifter, you could play a master of disguise.
Really good at pretending to be, like... bivalves.
Well, as a word of warning, I would say the arc that most fits with Master of Disguise is actually the performer, which treads a little bit where we were previously.
Yeah, and the problem is I often described, you may not have picked up on it, again, it was quite subtle, but Tristan was surprisingly beefy and well ripped, but I didn't really focus on that too much. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, but I never said, you know, how muscular he was. I mean, he was often clothed, so you didn't really see it. Whereas Brad Mussels' thing is that he's super ripped and he never wears a T-shirt. Oh, no, he wears one of those kind of cool muscle shirts that I sometimes wear.
Wow, okay.
Come summer, I'll
but he takes them off by ripping them like that.
He's got a chainmail muscle shirt, so his guns are always on. Damn it, I'm just playing Tristan again, but this guy's big. Brad Mussels is huge.
But with chainmail.
Muscle shirt would be really grating on the nips.
That's why he has
all people on the drift.
Reach nipple. Is that
all
hard?
People on the drift have their muscles have their nipples removed just because it's safer. it's just a safety issue. If you're pulling up, and again, like Ben was about to say, because I'm a muscle farmer, it's MUSSEL. It's not muscles. Come on. So if you're pulling up a barrel of muscles, that's how we grow them.
Barrel of muscles.
And you catch your nipple. So first things first.
Done. Get rid of those.
get
it's
them.
Kind of
so
like
your chainmail muscle shirt. Is it made of chain or muscles? Is it made of like loads and loads of shells, like scale mail, but with
it's a kind of muscle that like grows at hydrothermal vents, so they grow iron shells.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Oh, and the people who farm them are called the iron shells. Come on,
yes, that is a great name.
Good, this is solid. I'm here for it.
That might sneak into my book somewhere. The iron shell.
Not if I can get into my sitcom first.
So yeah, who's going to finish?
Waste the publication.
Yeah,
wait, Ben won,
and then we can sue each other and split the cash. Oh, wait,
yeah!
A plan with only winners.
Plan. Just don't say it on a really popular streaming site. Yeah,
yeah.
Seven people perfect. Watching us.
This is crazy.
Seven? Holy heck! That's our magic.
Yeah, but
number.
We're like four of them.
So
I am in there, unfortunately. Yeah.
So if Brad has started getting magic, that would be a great situation for the gifted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's this big, roughy, tufty guy, but now he's finding he can do some weird magical stuff.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really understand it, but he's like, this is going to make my return. Firstly, I'm a bit short of cash. Secondly, my return... to like my return to where's my skeleton is going to be so much easier as long as I can keep this on the down low because I've got like all these skills now.
I also like the idea when you were saying one of the I can't remember what you called them, that someone from the drift has also contacted me to say we're trying to take down the city, we need you as a man on the inside.
Dum. Okay. I think that's really fun.
Also the drift. Yeah, maybe.
Well, like the drift has many people.
The drift's pretty chill.
Yeah.
Pretty chill.
It might even be someone you talk to who was doing this magic stuff. Maybe you have a mentor who was like, who taught you some of controlling what you can do, but they're part of a magical group that's like, oh, we've got to do something about these corporations.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So yeah, it's like your complication is a secret mission to subvert
Yeah, but also the problem is I really need that money. So as much as I want to, you know, bring them down from the inside, I really need the cash from the win.
That's why it's...
Just like the point out something very important. Given the world and the fact that it's a corporate thing, it's not money, it's credits. I've read enough Cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Or credits.
Credits, you're right, yeah.
You continue.
So, yeah, I think that makes sense as a as an arc. And I'm just going to look at our stats. So the five statistics, we start with 1 plus 2, 1 plus 1, 2 at 0, and 1 at -1. So what do you think? Do you think Brad Muscles is like the gifted predominantly uses, I think it predominantly uses heart. Yeah. But I wonder if Brad is like...
And you should maybe explain what the stats are.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to explain that. It's a mystery. So, fine.
Nice. I suppose find out in game.
Yeah, play to find out what happens. So,
I can hear you, but I can't reply. I'm getting boozed.
Mind is the capacity to think your way through a difficult solution, to foresee trouble and create technical solutions to problems. Heart is... understanding the heart and soul of an individual, and through that, being good at inspiring or leading, perhaps even to commune with the gods themselves. So, to a degree, it plays the role that wisdom might in some RPGs.
Oh, that wasn't good. That was anticlimactic.
Strength is literally the ability to be strong. Subtlety.
That's me.
Is like silent and acrobatic movement and the fiddly stuff. And charm is the ability to affect people with your performance.
You're not allowed that.
I can see Brad as being strength and heart led.
He's a straight talker.
Yeah.
He cracks heads and he gets the job done. We're a simple folk on the drift, but yeah, we're kind of commanding in our presence.
Exactly. All of that is heart. That's precisely what heart's for.
This is a heart.
But I don't think things through. If I see a door, I don't look for a key. I smash it down.
Okay, so I'm hearing mind is -1.
Yeah, I think so.
So -1.
That sounds about right.
What I would say maybe 1 heart and 2 strength.
I'm pretty strong.
Because you are very strong. We kind of emphasised that. Heart is what you need to control your power, but you're only learning that you have power. And as you advance, you'll be able to bump these up a bit.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me. And so also, we've talked about your background here. Because I think you're an outsider.
Yeah.
What most people, you don't have the cultural understanding that most people have because you weren't raised in the corporate cities. So, you know, to put it in cinematic terms, you don't know how to use the 3 seashells, but you do have specific knowledge that allows you to use literal seashells because you're from the drift. So you get a background noise. I'm still thinking about microphones. You get
now that I can do.
Yes, you can. Get a background move, which is choose a realm of knowledge relevant to your upbringing. And whenever you need to roll common knowledge on that topic, you roll with advantage.
Farming.
I think we could take this wider onto like the life and culture of Drift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you know about life at sea. Let's call it that, because that'll be okay. That's really fun. You also start with an object closely related to your upbringing, but very strange.
Teddy bear.
So what's a weird thing that you have for your mussel farmers?
I feel like it should be something like an anchor.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Maybe like a weird...
Because then I've got an anchor on a rope and I can kind of whang it around my head and hook onto things and pull my... Like it's kind of like a... I use it like a grappling.
Yeah, no, that's great.
It's a very versatile weapon, the anchor.
Yeah, and I think it's like a small anchor. It's also, you like use it, it's part of what you use to like clip yourself onto things when you're moving around.
Oh, yeah, my carabiner and things.
So you've got your carabiner, but this is like, with this and your carabiner, you'll like tie it off at one end, throw it to the other, and then carabiner along the rope. And so you use it to like extend your ability.
That's and like when the mussel farming is not going well, you can hire yourself out as like an anchor for boats that need them. Because you're like, you're really ripped to.
Yeah. Also, you could probably pull down helicopters.
You also have in your pocket, you have like loads of pockets, if I remember rightly.
Yep. I kind of want to, well, Ali, is your person, oh, I was going to say, I kind of like the idea of having gadgets, but well, I guess that's going to be the
Ali's
mechanic
probably,
character.
If Ali's leaning towards gadget maker.
I think of it like my pockets are going to be...
I'm thinking along those lines. It's all about kind of mechanical stuff and no magic at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also,
no magic.
Just, I was thinking, I realise we're not on my one yet, but I am going to have some kind of armour, but it kind of slots over my back just in like little strips like that, and it kind of comes over my head, and then maybe I've got a tail.
Okay, cool. So, yeah.
Just keeping Lucy happy.
We can move this. Well, I think we can move this on to you now, Ali, anyway, because everyone else has had a little bit of a go. So
I'll just add that I reckon in my pocket, I reckon because I've got because I've got so many pockets, they're full of all manner of knickknacks and things. So I've always got something for a situation, not actual knickknacks, although there'll probably be some of them in there.
Nice and spicy knickknacks.
I'm like instead of Batman's utility belt, I've got lots of pockets full of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can call that a. Of course, because you're from the Drift. So these are things that you carry around on the Drift. So we'll call that a seaman kit.
Yeah, nice.
Okay, so, Ali.
Hello.
Do you have an idea for your character's name, perhaps?
Well, I was going with Arkwise.
Arkwise, that's a great name.
It's good because you said it in some other thing. And for a while I was like, what's Arkwise? Is there a special type of... So I thought it was an actual word. But also that does mean that the character's a little bit more like the guy out of Open All Hours now. So I think at the end of every episode, I maybe have to go, it's been a funny old day. That kind of thing. Just as I'm bringing in the brooms and that. That wasn't what the character was, but that's what it became.
Do you have a last name, do you think?
Yes. I don't know what it is. Okay. I'll work that out.
That's fine. Pronouns?
She.
She, her. And what culture do you think Arkwise comes from? I think it sounds like it might be a cutter.
Yeah, I thought that too, because I wasn't around when you were talking about the cutter, so I only just read about them earlier. But yeah, I reckon I could do that. Also, if I'm going to accidentally become northern, then...
Yeah, better be a cutter.
I've done a bit of cutting.
That sounds good.
All over the north.
I think you should deliberately become northern. Right? There should be no accident involved.
Well, I kind of am, but
yeah,
when I try to be, it definitely moves around quite a lot around the M6.
Yeah, you see, I don't have that problem because I can't distinguish between parts of the north, so I assume that I'm entirely consistent.
Why I man, the grove's on fire.
That's the north, that's what they say. So, if we think about your background, what kind of situation did Arkwise grow up in?
I imagine I was brought up inside of a machine. Inside of a machine. So, or close as damn it. So, it's essentially the cutters, I imagine, would have had a real affinity with the machines. They would have in them, around them, you know, it's part of their lives. I was going to say culture, but on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
And so essentially you're brought up in the machine.
Yeah, okay. So
in the machine of the machine.
What I'm going to call this in terms of the backgrounds we have, and we could create our own one for this, of course. There's always an option to create something new. But I think this is religious.
Yes.
This is like having grown up as a monk or a kid around a temple.
Which is why I'm so angry about the mages, because to me, the Ten Commandments are, you know, physical laws.
Yeah, they're literally, they're actually equations.
Yeah. You know, and you've got your trinity of the Om. My dad's not always watching this, so I'm okay. But imagine I know which one current and things are, right?
Yeah, I think there's going to
fault,
be a certain
currents
amount
and
of
the other
resistance
one.
To using ohms.
Yes. Wire.
Just remember, the biggest question of all, what's the unit of power?
Money. No.
No, what's the unit of power?
What? Oh, shit. God damn it. We are losing our powers. That's what happens when we get old.
So old, so very old. Yeah, so you spent a lot of time around the machines. So what did that mean for your childhood? Does it mean that you're like always scuttling around things?
Oh, for sure. And I think probably in that kind of culture, robots and small children are basically treated the same. So, like, you don't really differentiate. So your best mate may be robot, maybe not, maybe a bit of both. Especially if you're a robot pangolin.
Yeah, okay. So yes. Do we think that your look is like a robot pangolin?
Yes.
Are you like, are you kind of like a pangolin
word
person?
Scuttle would definitely apply. I'm a person, but there's definitely, just the hunch and the way the armour works. And, oh, I've definitely got a kind of swingy kind of armoured tail and it's got like a mace on the end.
Okay, cool. So kind of like armoured. So and this is like a type of person that lives in this world. There are people this all around the place.
Loads of us.
But that's, I think that's a cool look. And, yeah, so arc-wise,
probably
got pangolin, grew up around the machines. You will get a background move that says when you need mundane supplies and you have access to it says a temple of your denomination, of the denomination you're raised in. So that's really like a cutter's warehouse.
Okay.
You'll be able to pick up kind of mundane supplies from it as you need it, going to be extremely useful, seeing as you have, if you're the artificer, where one of the things you need is bits and bobs to do artificing with.
Yes.
And so if we look at the artificer playbook.
Got quite a lot of cable ties, if that helps. Look at the size of them.
That's exactly the kind of thing you will have in character.
Yes. Been to B&Q, mate. Just did like a supermarket sweep.
Amazing. So,
and I've got a little thing here for cleaning off negatives. It's just give a little brush to it. I might actually have all the props for my character. I've got a screwdriver as well.
It's the armor that we really need to see.
I'll work on it. So I'll use the power of imagination.
You're going to have a move to prepare devices that will allow you to create things ahead of time, and a move that lets you improvise a device when you have to do it in the moment. So there's like, oh, we're going in here, we might need this, and you can build something quite good. And then you have, oh, we need something right now, and you kind of wing it, but it will probably fall to pieces. It's a bit gaffer tape and zip ties, but it'll
sounds
probably
MacGyver
hold
to
up.
Me.
Yeah, it'll hold up for the minute. So,
oh, that's Quantum Leap.
So I would suggest that in terms of stats, you're probably going to want to lead with subtlety.
That's me.
Because that's the kind of dealing with fiddly, fine details type thing.
Okay.
What do you think would be your second best thing? You've got
what are my choices?
Heart is straight talking, mind is intelligence and thinking, strength is physical lifting, and charm is kind of sweet talking.
I don't think I've got any charm.
No, so that might be minus one.
Yeah, and I think I probably have to have quite a bit of smarts to be able to make stuff.
Okay, so let's put the other one on mind.
Charm, subtlety, strength, mind, heart.
And so heart and strength would be zero then.
Right. That makes sense.
I think so. Yeah, that's okay. I'll have Brad Muscles around for with strength.
And hearts.
Gwyn, do you have a name yet?
Yes. I'm going to be called Anders Roe.
Anders Roe.
Is it Roe as in fish roe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, do I need a fish name then?
No.
You've got. Well, it doesn't have to be a fish name, I suppose.
You could be Arkwise Haddock or something.
That's what I was thinking, just because, you know, we got, Brad Muscles and Anders Roe.
But I don't
think... Arkwise Haddock, no, that's not quite right.
Arkwise Hairy Frogfish.
Yeah, look for a video of a hairy frogfish. That's a cool fish.
So good. Is it a fish or a frog?
We don't
It's pretty fishy, isn't it? It's like all the way underwater. Frogs can't go that deep.
Okay. Yeah, they're pretty shallow creatures.
Mm.
What kind of background does Anders come from?
I think Anders' background, he was basically one of the kempt. He was ordinary and normal and is uneasy with, magical powers.
That's understandable, really.
It feels like he's doing something wrong.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds rad. Okay, so... In a way, I think that gives us a background. It's almost this in terms of background is kind of almost like the it's sort of like merchant, I think. Or it falls between merchant and peasant here, the kind of middle class background.
Peasant.
So I think maybe your background is like you lived among the kempt, you understand the ways of the city.
Yeah, he did like a boring 9-to-5 office job. Maybe he was an auditor or something along those lines.
Yeah, that sounds like a good...
No offence, Magnus.
Get him. Don't want to join our podcast. We're going to slate you at every opportunity. Disgusting little man.
Can't believe we've alienated ex-podcasters now. That's everybody.
Yeah.
That's the last
He's person. Not going to listen to this,
last
is he?
The person who was left, he didn't like... Vimto, he wasn't a trucker. Finally got him.
Finally
got him.
And so
that's the only reason we've done this podcast, just to slag Magnus off.
To be fair, you did. Spoiler alert: murder his character at the end of the last one. So,
that's what you get. Turn against us, we turn against you.
So. I wonder if, so you, a complication that you might have, I could see is wanted. Someone is searching for you.
So.
Perhaps it's the law, perhaps it's the church. I think in this case, it probably is corporation. They don't know that it's you they're looking for, but they know about something you did.
Yeah, I think they can probably detect the ripples. And so I've been... In more recent times, probably moving from, not necessarily city to city, but district to district.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get this golden ticket.
Well, I think he probably... I don't know what the nature of the game show is going to be, but, looking at the format of, different game shows these days where like everyone gets together in a big house or you get put together on an island to go and do something or something like that, then like pulled away from society and contained in this sort of filmable, like controlled environment, then he's probably won his way onto a show like that in order to try to very definitely get out the way of where he was.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hiding in plain sight deal.
That's a good idea.
Because, you know, weird, ridiculous things happen on game shows anyway. You know?
And it's lucky as well. You know, you're able to just squeeze a little luck to get yourself on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that works really well. So, and that kind of explains why you're here. Is there any special equipment that you think you're going to start with?
I think probably the stuff that he can do is sort of intrinsic to how he's sort of connected with the world, isn't it? So that's probably not reliant on equipment so much.
Yeah.
Perhaps something game show related.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So if it was like standards, like something that once we figure out what the game show is, we'll work out what that is.
If he's a contestant, then some sort of luxury item that he's been allowed to take in. If we're a mix of contestants and crew, and he's on the crew, then something related to that. But yeah, we'll fill that blank in.
Yeah, cool.
Blankety blank.
I realise, Ali, we didn't look at a complication for you.
Well, I assumed that probably I've just been really, really rude about all the mages, and now the mages are like somebody magey is after me, at least very cross with me.
So you could have an enemy, a powerful enemy. Another one which did strike me possibly is like class bound. Like you're super good at getting on with other people in your class, your social class, and relatively bad at getting on with everybody else.
I think I was going to role play that anyway.
Maybe you only speak pangolin, and that's mostly tail flicks and like
you only go
movement.
Welsh. I can only tell people about parsnips and how much Owen likes them.
Owen was doing experiments and growing parsnips in the biology.
No way. I'm not that far up, but he was. He was definitely asking about the parsnips and if someone would cook them for him this week for me. Owen, what a lad!
He loves the parsnips.
Okay, he loves parsnips.
So I think that gives us the other thing is equipment wise, you have some serviceable armor, which is good. Me? Armor is really tough in this game.
Yeah.
So that's
why we take our nipples off.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Makes it tricky for the babies, but that's their problem. Sort out yourself.
No, because they're so small, it's really quick.
Yeah.
this is a weird, it's like weird how quickly these cultures
become, how are they going to stop me?
How quickly these cultures become grotesque.
Well, that explains humanity.
Like, no matter where you start, it's quickly homes in on something flipping.
Yeah, but it's like
weird.
It's like we always say, ain't no nipples on the drift.
That is true. That is true.
And in fact, the cutters often replace
no
them with metal nipples. So we do, we'll actually have up to six. So we do have nipples, but only metal ones. That's what really makes us stand out. Literally.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have, in this game show, we're going to have like 12 players in the house.
Playing four each.
No, you're not necessarily going to play any of the others. It's just like you get 12 and then it narrows down. That sounds like the kind of numbers that you want. You got a 3-month run. That gets one person.
And then the last five have to go and find the skeletons.
Yeah.
Or the last three, I guess.
And so I think we're going to start in this house. And what we want to do is we want to think about, because you might only be meeting now, we want to build some kind of connections between your characters, just so you have some knowledge of each other. Or some kind of...
We met in the green room.
Or like,
And we've all got fish surnames, so we immediately bonded over that.
Yeah. When you say bonded, yeah. I didn't want to talk to any of them because they're magic.
Well, they don't...
No,
they,
we couldn't understand you wiggling your tail, and we're like, what does that even mean?
Wiggling my tail, talking about parsnips.
Neither of them would reveal they were magic, because magic is like on the down low. So, and it may be, so a good connection between Stu, between Brad and, between Brad and Anders.
And Anders. For short, people call me And. So like when people are agreeing with me, it's like they're queuing me up for an improv comedy prompt.
Yes, And.
Yes, And.
Yeah, we became such good friends. They called us Branders. Hey, Branders. And we're both like, yes.
So what I'm seeing here is like there may be a good connection between you two might be that you both are aware the other can do magic or something.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Like, or one of you saw the other doing magic, maybe.
I was going to say, okay.
So we could...
He's doing magic.
It's a kind of magic. I suspect it might be. Oh, it's magic. I think that might make a connection from... Anders to Brad, because Anders' magic is probably hard to notice. Whereas Brad's might be like he sneezes and there's a burst of light or something just once in a while when he's not paying attention. He sneezes and his ears start to glow.
Fall off.
Start to grow.
God, oh my God, I can hear everything.
He's got the shitty Pinocchio skill.
Everything's so loud.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. I wanted some kind of shape shifting, so maybe that is the power that I'm learning.
You can just grow bits of your body temporarily.
Oh no, we don't know
his mustache. Oh, no.
Actually, yeah, that's cool.
So when he says he's growing muscles, he actually is.
Yeah. When everyone's like a big hand for Brad, he's like, whoop. Okay.
Like a Foo Fighters video.
Yeah, so I think that Anders maybe has witnessed and knows a bit about that. So, Brad, what's your connection to Arkwise? And the two ways that a connection can work, it's either like some kind of shared history, some kind of way you met in the past, or it could be that there's a person you know in common, like there's an NPC that you were in love with, but they were in love with Arkwise or whatever. And so your relationship is through someone else.
It turned out they were a robot.
Has Anders, not Anders, Arkwise ever been to the Drift?
No.
That's where we met.
Yeah.
Could it be that Arkwise has worked on a previous series, like was on the crew for the show that Brad won?
Yeah.
That would
make
sense.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And maybe I audited Arkwise accounts at one point and chased each other.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe, just like our suing each other scam, Arkwise sort of helped me win the first Where's My Skeleton?
Well, obviously I was slightly involved, not in the creative side of the editing, but in the sort of technical side of it, because obviously I work with the RT people who actually have those skills. And so I did make sure that the best footage of you got through, so that the narratives that were created.
Whoa, oh, yeah. Are we going to be? Dare I
best
say
friends.
It?
Best friends.
Whoa! No,
never.
No competition. Like, that's it. We just big each other up all series. That's the twist of this series.
Finally. Now you can have your irrational competition with Anders. Yeah, that's great. So
it was never me.
Oh, no. Of course not.
I just did the cool stuff, like the coolest, like
you've got
the demonstrably coolest stuff in the series, and you know other people didn't like it.
Okay.
Oh, fuck that bow. If you give her anything, if I spend this entire game trying to use one thing and you then give it to Ali again, I'm leaving. I'm doing a mag. I'm magging this podcast.
I look forward
to... Oh, Ali's muscles get really big.
Fuck. Yeah.
Like, Ali's got an anchor.
Yeah, big cool anchor.
Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant. She finds a magical anchor.
Damn.
Unbelievable.
That was my character's goal.
So I have a thought here as well for, ooh, like, why you three are together, which is that they've done it alphabetically on first names. And so Arkwise, Anders and Brad are just the first alphabetical names in the group. So
yeah,
you're like naturally grouped together at the start of the game. I think that kind of makes sense. Okay, that's great. So... what's Arkwise's connection with Anders, do you think? What's your connection with Anders? And this could be either something... it could be that, like, he audited one of your family. Or maybe...
oh, right.
Or maybe he audited your accounts and spotted the kickback from Brad after the previous...
he
got fired from the show.
Yeah, he noticed a big kickback from... yeah. Mr. B Muscles.
Maybe I audited Arkwise's accounts and there was something in there that was anomalous. But I think it might have been as a result of me doing something weird and a little bit of that feedback coming through, and so I wrote it off. And like Arkwise has kind of assumed that I've done him a solid, but actually I'm just kind of covering shit up.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Nice.
Arkwise was the chance benefactor. Of Anders' luck-pushing schemes.
Yeah, like magical feedback.
Oh, mine doesn't go any closer.
Okay, that's rad. So there's like a bit of a connection. One of the nice things about this is that this is a... character connection that you all have, but you can't reference on camera because all of it is to some degree criminal. Which is kind of good. Like, every one of you has like a thing you've got to keep off camera. But also, luckily, you have someone who is very technical and you have someone who is very lucky and someone who's got good magic. So I think this is going to set you up well for this game.
Maybe Arkwise, because she was a hacker, she does somehow have a connection to the feed so she can interfere with it. Like, if anything, because there's going to be like a 30-second delay or, you know, just in case there's any swearing, she can kind of flick a little switch that cuts the feed for a few seconds whenever we say something accidentally.
Yeah, or she knows, like, the in-world equivalent Disney songs that mean that they will not be able to broadcast it. She like suddenly starts singing Happy Birthday. And you're like, oh no. Get out.
Or if you're do a really good pun, I cover it up, then do it myself. That's why you should be. That's not the character. There's a difference.
Okay, I think that gives us some nice special moves, some nice character connections. Are there any other things we want to bring in around these characters?
Do I need to complete the rest of my character sheet?
Your character sheet, if you look in Drive for Gwyn character sheet, I've been filling these in as we went along.
Okay, cool. So I don't need to assign stats or anything. You've sorted that.
The stats are the one part we need. The Magus is mind focused, and that probably makes sense. What do you reckon is your other positive stat?
Oh, remind me of the stats.
So heart is like straight talking and inspiring. Mind is thinking and problem solving. Strength is muscles. Subtlety probably is dealing with fiddly, complicated things. And charm is lying and weaseling and generally charming people, but without the, like, the difference between heart and charm is that heart is honest and charm doesn't have to be. So it can be performance, it can be... If you're thinking strategically, no one has any charm right now.
I'll have some charm. Go on, I'll have some charm.
What do you think you're bad at?
So we've currently got
muscles. I am probably bad at muscles, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Strength. Cool. So the other thing that each character has is what are called your poles. So, yeah, quite. And these are these are part of how you gain experience. I'm sorry to say, Stu, you don't gain experience when you fail a roll in this game.
What?
But your positive pole is something, and negative pole are things where you, when you lean into them, it helps you to gain XP basically during that scene. So for example, for the Magus, the suggested positive poles are intelligent, wise, exacting, insightful, or intellectual. And the suggested negative poles are arrogant, naive, intolerant, thoughtless, or careless. So basically your character
wants... If you reverse them, if you give them as my strengths and my strengths as my weakness, then we're probably good.
Sometimes your positive XP trigger will be based on your negative trait. It's like when your negative pole keeps you out of trouble, you mark experience. So they're termed as negative and positive poles, but both of them can be positive or negative for you in character. So what do you think the two edges of Anders' character would be?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking Gwyn.
Oh, I thought you were asking Stu.
No, because this is on the Magus.
Okay, careless was the... Yeah. Negative one.
As your strength. You're a negative.
Yep.
I think it would be very, very bad for him to be careless.
Yep.
And then as positive. What were the positive ones again? Say again.
The ones
as examples.
It suggests here are intelligent, wise, exacting, insightful, or intellectual.
Yeah, I'm not sure any of those are.
Yeah, so what do you think, his positive vibe is?
Do you have an idea, Ali, or have you...
No, I was looking at my ones.
Okay. Maybe insightful.
Okay, I think insightful is good.
Yeah, go on. I'll go with that, unless something suddenly fits better.
Okay, yeah, that's great. We can shift it around between now and when we get going anyway. Okay, so Ali, it sounded like you had an idea for what your poll might be.
One of the suggested ones is ideological.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is a negative trait would be quite fun, because pretty much, you know. Positive one. I don't even know. Maybe something like obsessive, because it's very pedantic about making sure everything's perfect, that kind of thing.
So if we put that in, I think framing that positively, maybe careful.
Right. Okay. All right, comedy. We only do negative traits.
Well, this gives you the best of both worlds, assuming the worlds are positive and negative. Otherwise, it's just some worlds, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so Stu, for the gifted, the suggested positive polls are generous, faithful, insightful, carefree, or enthusiastic. Any of those feel like Brad to you?
He's enthusiastic. You know, he's a positive person.
But enthusiastic feels pretty strong. Stu, if not Brad.
Yeah, exactly. And negative polls.
He's always willing to face a challenge.
Yeah. So negative
polls. In fact, he welcomes it.
Negative polls here, we have, it suggests obsessive, ambitious, entitled, careless, or overcautious. Overcautious?
He's not overcautious.
No, I was thinking that doesn't sound like... We already have careless on Anders, so we could... I got obsessive and... Actually, ambitious is quite interesting. And all of these, like, shade the character in different ways.
Mm.
Or we can just find something else. Like, what characteristic does he have that causes problems for him? He's got this enthusiasm.
He's straight talking. He says it as it is.
Okay, so if to put it in job interview terms, he's almost too honest.
I say what I like and I like what I say.
Yeah, can't remember exactly. That's
yeah, so... tactless.
Yeah.
Which is ironic if he's in boats.
it's because he goes so straight. Okay.
Also, is there a different class that would fit being a strong, muscly sailor better?
I mean,
or
being a strong, muscly sailor, a lot of these classes reflect who you are in the story as much as what you do. So... Like, a lot of them are about kind of your relationship to the situation you're in. Things like the, which means that a lot of them could work for a muscly sailor character. That's why you have, like, your character sheet and your playbook, because you can take a lot of characters into a lot of different arcs. So you could, if you wanted to be... a very athletic character, like, it wouldn't be ridiculous to have the fighter, or you could have the volunteer, or a character who's, like, enthusiastic and excited to be part of what they're doing.
And they turn up every day to shovel up the dog poo.
It's like the volunteer would be, like, if you're coming onto the show as a super fan of the show... And you have, like, an encyclopedic knowledge of what happens in it and, like, how it works.
The unpaid researcher.
Like, you can do things like quoting the rules to gain benefit and things like that.
Oh.
And you can also...
Yeah, because I was thinking he doesn't... Carry on.
But I do think in the story...
I was going to say that he doesn't... Oh, my God.
Go on.
No, I was letting you go and then you... waited till I started talking and then started talking. I was going to say he doesn't have to be experiencing magical powers. unless that fits well with the story still.
I think that was... really does, because we have this theme of magic returning. And we have, like...
But could you have...
We have this...
magic powers and be a different class still, like the fighter, and magic is now coming in?
You can, but I think what's interesting about this is it's about the mystery of the magic is kind of part of the class. It's like, hey, I could do magic. Why can I do magic? And that feels like that's kind of what a big chunk of what this story is about. Is like, how come people have started being able to do magic?
And I quite like the idea that at some point I'm going to be able to make my limbs and things bigger and be like a plastic man and stretch my arms out and stuff.
You combine that. I think you could combine that with being a sailor, and you're very much everything you combine into one piece, which you probably haven't watched, but it is.
No, but I get the reference.
So there we go. The other thing, Stu, do you have a name for...
Yeah, Brad Marsalis.
Brilliant. Do you have a name for the person who, like, wants you to subvert, this mentor who wants you to subvert the corporate...
Broad muscles.
I just know him as Slippery Jim.
Mad muscles.
Cod Wussles.
James Eels. Everyone calls him Slippery Jim.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
He's
it.
He's got an electric personality.
He's actually, you can trust Slippery Jim because, like many eels, he's extremely wiggly.
He's got all the current information.
Yeah, you see, now you're getting it. You see, earlier you completely lost your...
I lost my punning mojo. I need to get it back.
Well, this is what we're here for. We're going to serve.
Yes, this is the training ground. Mojo. I just applied to be in a writer's room, so this is the training ground for the writer's room.
Yeah, this is like a writer's room where you don't have to write, and it's not a room, which is the best.
And it doesn't matter if it's shit.
No, it does matter if it's shit, but it won't be because we're elite. Ali, did you have a surname for Arkwise?
Yes. Yep. Turbotine. Arkwise Turbotine.
Is it I-N-E or E-E-N?
I-N-E.
It would be very funny if it was Turbotine.
Turbotine.
That sounds like the kind of thing you'd have like in a turn of the 90s kids TV programme. Here they come, the Turbotines.
Oh, as long as my armour can kind of turn into another creature. So, like, I look human and then I'm like... The armadillo, Turbotine.
I was
part of a group that sort of grew up. It's like a sort of gang, and we were the Turbotines. We all had different animals that our armor would turn into. And I don't know, one of them was a rock, like Rock Lords, because that's still funny.
That's a great animal. One of my favourite animals.
There was a real thing, you know, like the Transformers. There was genuinely a version of Transformers where the robots would turn into rocks.
I literally found one of these near a lake in America when I was a kid. It was the weirdest find because I was obsessed with Transformers.
It's a rock.
I was like, what's this toy that looks like a Transformer but turns into a rock? And also, why did I find it on the ground near a lake when no one was around?
It was camouflaged.
Evidently.
Yeah, I guess if you drop one, there's a fairly high chance you're just going to lose it.
Yeah.
In the wrong spot.
The tragedy.
I do like the idea that someone tried to come up with that in a meeting when they're like designing toys. So we've got ones that can turn into animals. We've got ones that can turn into trucks and rocks. Got it.
Why not?
Done. Sold. I think there was one, like McDonald's did a Transformer that turned into a milkshake. That seems familiar.
Yeah. Milkshake with melon.
Yeah. Wow. I guess they were probably hoping to bring boys to their yard.
Robot boys.
On drift, that's how they like pour milkshake into the sea to retrieve all the boys.
I share something.
So I think that's got us our characters now.
Woo-hoo!
So what we're going to do next, we're going to have more of a think, or I'm going to have more of a think about this game show and probably bounce some ideas around. And then next session, we will begin to play.
Woo!
We'll see what comes from that.
Is that next Thursday?
I believe that is next Thursday.
Cool.
All being well and a wind following us, I believe that will be it. So thank you very much, everyone who came and joined us. And thank you very much to all of you who are listening. And next time, you get to enjoy Trilogy in Play. Catch you then.